Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the United Steelworkers of America and the United Food and Commercial Workers of America. We appreciate their support. Joining us today from Washington, D.C., the man, the myth, the guy who deserves his own monument, Chris Garlock. Chris, welcome back.
Charles, good to be back with you.
Chris, it's always a pleasure, brother. We appreciate it. So what's going on in D.C.?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's June. The summer madness season has officially begun here in D.C. And all I can tell you, brother, it's going to be a long summer because the Trump roadshow is nowhere near over. And, yeah. You know, I'm like you. I pick up the paper every day just to see, you know, what the latest, you know, mess is. And, you know, on a serious level, you know, there's all kinds of just weird stuff going on, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, you know, that bizarre cabinet meeting he had last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just from a worker perspective, I've been talking to folks here about this, and Charles, you know, one of the things I was thinking is that, you know, and look, I got no love for any of those cabinet members, but say what you want about them, each of those cabinet members, you know, they actually accomplished something in life on their own merits, unlike a certain somebody. You know, and he was able to force them to except for and you'll appreciate this, the military, what was it, Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mattis would not kiss the ring. Mattis,
right?
You know, he showed, you know, a shred of integrity there, and everybody else, you know, fell all over themselves, you know, on command. And you know, just I was just thinking this, you know, I think, you know, when your boss makes you do that, and here in D.C., one of the things that happens is, you know, Trump is a president. He's got the upper hand for the moment. But you got to believe, Charles, that every one of those folks is just laying low in the weeds, biding their time, because the tide's going to turn. And Post just has a story out today. They went back and they're talking to some of these Trump voters. And, you know, you're starting to see some of that buyer's remorse starting to trickle in
just a little bit,
you know. People are starting to kind of realize that this guy, and you saw this with this mess that they've got over Qatar, right? You got Qatar, you got Saudi Arabia, and UAE, right?
Right.
And there's this fuss between those three, and out of those three, which one is the only country that Trump International has not been able to get into to do business?
Well, imagine that. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Qatar.
Qatar. And he doesn't have a hotel. So, you know, it's like, maybe if I had a hotel in your neighborhood.
But this is the thing that we've all been worrying about, right? Which is that he's there to take care of his business first. And our business comes, you know, pretty much of a distant second. And I think people are starting to figure this out.
Yeah. And Chris, you know what's funny is I actually heard on one of the business channels as I was driving into work today that they were like, oh, yeah, Donald Trump's raking it in like a bandit. And it's okay as long as we get to do the same. Now, which class of people do you think is talking about being able to rake it in like a bandit? Okay, Donald Trump's making money hand over fist. Okay. And it's okay with which class of people? Is it working class, blue collar people? Or is it the donor class here in the United States? Those people that are writing the checks to congressmen and women for $110 or $100 million for their campaigns. It ain't me.
I'm going to have to go with door number B on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Trump was able to very effectively mislead, and I am not holding West Virginia coal miners responsible for what he did to them. And I am not holding retired steelworkers or displaced steelworkers responsible for what he did to them. But he fooled them. And you know the old Irish saying, fool me once, your fault. Fool me twice, it's not going to happen.
No, and I think this is the other interesting thing is that, you know, the health care bill, which is being drafted in complete secrecy by the Republican leadership. And I'm talking about not just secret from, you know, the likes of you and me, which I understand they don't want us to see it. I'm talking about even the Republican senators have not gotten a look at it. I mean, it's Mitch McConnell, as far as I can tell at this point. And so they're just, you know, putting this dog together, and they're going to bring it out. They're going to force a vote on it pretty quick, is from what I'm hearing. And then they're going to put that into reconciliation. I'm hearing they're not going to have any hearings on it, which is completely bizarre. Their argument, by the way, and you'll love this, Charles, their argument is that, you know, they had enough hearings on it before. We all know this issue. So we don't need to have any more hearings on it, which is not even, I mean, that's not even, that doesn't even pass the sniff right. test on that one. I mean, that's just crazy. The idea that you'd pass some massive healthcare. And basically what they're figuring is, you know, they're going to get hung out on a limb on this one. So they might as well just, you know, they don't want to go through it twice. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get out eventually.
Yeah.
So
well,
they figure we'll take it up front.
And Chris, now is the time to pick up the phone. And, you know, I was just talking with Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News, about this. Now is the time to pick up the phone and call your senator. And I called Pat Toomey's office and I said, you know what? I want a copy of this bill. Now, I know I'm not going to get
Pat
it.
Pat doesn't have it.
Yeah, I know I'm not going to get it. But the thing is we need to make sure that they understand, number one, only 17% of the population of the United States approves of what came out of the House.
And I think even that might be high.
And you know what? You are not following the wishes of your constituents, and that's why you're sent to DC. You were to follow the wishes of your constituents. You're not there to follow who writes you the biggest check. And you know, I mean, folks, you got to pick up the phone and you got to make that call. 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. That's how you get a hold of your congressman. That's how you get a hold of your senator, and then call their local office. And if you have the same problem I've had with Keith Rothfuss, and you can't get the local office and you can't get the D.C. office, call their campaign office. Get the word to them and make them understand very clearly that you're serious.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen too, Charles, is like I say, you know, they can't hide this piece of you-know-what forever, right? It's going to come out. It's going to see the light of day. And I tell you what, I think there's going to be hell to pay when that happens.
Right, and what do you bet they have a silent vote on this? And members of the Senate go, oh, no, I didn't vote for it. It must have been the other guys.
That, I've heard that, and I think it would be cowardly, but I would not put it past them. I totally suspect that may be the way that they're going to go on this. So, yeah. Now, like I keep telling folks, you know, this stuff is going to get worse before it gets better. We have not bottomed out yet. That is the bad news at this point. Before I forget, I should mention we do have a council meeting tonight. This is our last delegates meeting before the summer break, 6:30 at the AFL-CIO. So come on out. I know we're getting a cold front here in D.C. and there's going to be thunderstorms, but we'll be here. So folks should come on by. And then tomorrow night, 6:00 at Busboys and Poets up in Tacoma, we're showing Pride. It's part of Pride Month, working with our friends at Pride at Work. Great film. We showed it in the Labor Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Free, no charge. Just come on up and you know, have some drinks, have some food, and this is to, you know, going to your point, Charles. You know, it's, you know, call your senators, call your representatives. But I think the broader point is, and this is my big message coming out of Labor Fest. You know, people are engaged; they want to be engaged, and that's, you know, whatever you got to do to be engaged, because this is going to be a long struggle. This ain't going to be over by, you know, 4th of July or Christmas. You know, we're talking a while here. So good job security for you, Charles. That's the good news.
Yeah, and that's another story. Chris, we got to get going. How do we find out more about you in the D.C. Labor Council?
hey, check out our website, dclabor.org. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter.
There you go. We appreciate that very much, Chris. Chris Carlock of the DC Labor Council. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.